In that readiness shortfall issue, General Mark Welsh, the chief of staff of the Air Force, promises 10 years of catch-up before the Air Force reaches its readiness goals. He says spending on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and then sequester prevented the Air Force from investing in the training and preparation it needs. Major General Dale Myros, U.S. Air Force retired, was chief information officer for three U.S. Air Force commands and three joint combatant commands. He was also the first chief information officer of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence General. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir. This readiness problem is obvious at the tip of the spear for the reasons that General Welsh talked about in this hearing on Friday. But what's at the other end of that spear readiness-wise that most people don't see until later on or, as General Welsh says, until it's too late?
Sure. Glad to be on with you today, Francis. What folks don't see is the backlog of overhaul of aircraft, the backlog of overhaul of equipment and all those kinds of things, which also must be maintained in order for readiness to be appropriate. Additionally, a lot of the trainers were probably laid off, and so you've got a backlog to rehire people to actually do the training or to do the aircraft depot overhaul. And then the thing that plays out, that I see play out all the time, is a business about retention. I have a daughter who's a captain maintenance officer in the Air Force today, and the morale of the troops that get jerked around, don't get trained, and all of those kinds of things put uncertainty in the force and in the long run have a bad effect on retention.
Uncertainty is a phrase that we've heard regarding just about everything in the federal government in the last several years. Is the morale and retention aspect the only way that uncertainty is impacting, or is that kind of something that's pervasive through all of the things that you just mentioned, the trainers and the issue with them staying or going and the overhaul of equipment, maintenance of equipment, so forth?
I think it's all related. We're talking about a people issue, and so when you're talking about readiness, you're talking about having people trained on a wide range of skills and mission requirements, and so they may be proficient in some, but because of the size of the force and the multitasking that we provide for all of our organizations, they may not be able to handle all the missions, so there'll be a prioritization of more important missions over lesser important missions, and of course, a disruption and uncertainty. Something unexpected happened. All of a sudden, the thing that wasn't as important before is now of prime importance.
We're looking at all of this, of course, in the context of the Quadrennial Defense Review, which has come out at the same time that the budget came out almost 2 weeks ago. And it strikes me that with this uncertainty, the Quadrennial Defense Review may become not a wish list. That's making it a little bit too lackadaisical, I think, on my part. But the idea that I'm trying to get at, Dale, is that if we don't know what the budgets are going to look like, and we don't know what the forces, not just the Air Force, but the other branches too, are going to be capable of, then it's really difficult to figure out what kinds of strategies we want to attach to those capabilities.
Absolutely. And as you know, this business about uncertainty, within the Department of Defense, we have future year defense plans, which typically will reach out 5 years and then beyond 5 years. And so a lot of our planning of operations and war plans and missions that we'll support and all those kinds of things are all predicated upon that degree of predictiveness, which we in the Department of Defense have had to some degree for years and years. And so that makes the business of, do you plan for one war and stop another war? Do you plan for two wars? And that's where you get into the discussion about two war, one and a half war, one war, all as a means of sizing how big do we need our Department of Defense and how many missions do we need them to simultaneously carry on around the world.
So is it possible that if we just think about it in the terms of two, one and a half, one, for those of us that are trying to attach a little bit more substance to it, is it possible then that those assessments are maybe a little too glib and that we should put some effort into thinking about it in a little more detail?
I believe so. Again, if past is prologue, if you recall, long about the turn of the century, we talked about 2012, and so there was a buildup leading towards the early part of this decade. Well, this decade is as far as horizon planning and such is looking at 2023, 2022, and again, General Welch in his readiness comments is pointing at 2023. You need that kind of horizon, not only for the long term acquisition and procurement programs, but for the business of how many people do we need? How do you train them? How long will that training pipeline be? And then what do your retentions need to be over time and various skills?
The capability here that as General Welch portrayed it on Friday is striking. Jared Serbu writes, has this quote in his piece on federalnewsradio.com right now. I'm not comfortable, this is General Welch, with our current state of readiness to be able to do anything. Right now, the Air Force's combat-coded squadrons are about 38% ready compared to our standard of fully combat ready. I'm not a math genius, Dale, but that sounds like we're about 62% not ready, if that's the appropriate opposite. And General Welch says, to me, that's unacceptable. Am I looking at it the right way? If we're 38% ready, we're 62% not ready?
Okay, what that means is that the Air Force has a set of wartime or combat or deployment requirements given to them by the combatant commanders around the world. And so what General Welch is saying is that about 38% of the totality of all of those requirements, he's got a force ready and trained and prepared to do it. And of course, there isn't a single combatant commander out there that has planned on a war plan for anything less than a fully capable unit coming to support his or her requirements. So it's a little bit simplistic in saying that only 38% of the wartime tasks. So there may be a few units that are 100% ready, and then some units that are 25% ready or 0% ready, and so you have to look at it in the totality. But in essence, General Welch is saying that almost two thirds of his wartime tasking with the personnel training that he currently has on board, to include the readiness of both the equipment and the personnel, he can only do a little over a third of the job.
That really helps to understand what those numbers mean, because I'm not sure that everybody on the Hill looks at them that way, understands them that way, Dale, so I appreciate that. Another thing that General Welch said that was particularly striking was the recognition on his part, and I believe on the parts of the other leaders too, although they weren't at this hearing, of course, telling members of Congress, listen, don't plus up one particular area because it will come now at the expense of something else unless you change the budget caps that are in place. Ultimately, does this come down to a political calculus on the part of the members of Congress, as it always does, or is this a little different this time around because of this readiness component being involved?
Now, the readiness component has been involved before. I can remember back in the 70s when we had the Hollow Forks. That was all a calculation based upon on the lack of readiness and readiness preparedness. So we've been down this way before. And sometimes what happens is that Congress decides to prioritize something different than the DOD or the Air Force did. And in that different reprioritization, without giving them relief of top cap, in essence says, we don't care what else you don't do, but you will do this. And so that leads to some false choices in my experience over time.
Dale, this is great to help us understand what these comments from General Welch mean. I really appreciate your time today, as always, my friend.